Hail Dictinus! Grant us clear voices, strong sound, and good reads. The Tarot is a storybook about life, about the greatness of human accomplishment, and also the ugliness we are each capable of. Welcome to Tales from Tarot, the 266th episode of Three Pagans and a Cat. Our opening today is courtesy of author Benabel Wen. Our opening and closing music is credited as Frostwaltz Alternate by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 4.0. You may call me Ode.
Merry meet. My name is Gwyn, Ode's mother. And someday I want to time how fast you say that whole bit about it, Incompetech. And
I mean, I could probably pull it up for you because I edit it, so I can see how many seconds it takes. I'll let you know. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't. At this point, I've got it practically memorized.
Yes, you do.
Okay. Housekeeping. Do we have any?
Not that I can think of.
I don't think so. So we are house kept and
tiny broom house swept.
Yay. This is a chatty one. Mm. It was actually a requested topic a long, long time ago. Because Gwyn and I have both done a lot of reading tarot for other people, especially in group events. Mm-hmm. This episode, we're just going to talk about
our experiences.
Experiences of reading tarot. Yeah.
That's right.
What it's like to read tarot in a professional context,
yep,
in group events, in group settings, to have clients, to have returning querents, all that,
mm-hmm,
kind of stuff.
Because,
mm-hmm, I know a lot of people like hesitate to take the plunge. I hesitated to take the plunge,
yep,
for a long time. So this will give you a little bit of a peek into what it is like to read tarot for other people.
Professionally.
Mm-hmm. Which you have to say professionally because,
yeah,
you know, you accept money
you
for
accept
it.
Money
and at
for
that
it.
Point, you're a professional.
You're a professional. Yeah.
We don't have any credentials or anything. But,
mm-mm,
who knows,
nope,
really, in, nope, the tarot world.
And we must make the announcement that it is for entertainment purposes only.
Yes, for entertainment purposes only. So, Gwyn, you want to start?
I first started reading professionally,
mm-hmm,
when we still lived near Pat and Paul and,
yes,
the Arts and Craft Store,
yep,
which is in Hartford.
Yeah, in fact, I think your first professional readings were at
Arts and Craft. They were at Arts and Craft. I started going, what, I think it was every Sunday?
I think
it was
so.
Just every,
yeah,
Sunday.
It was every week.
Every week, every Sunday. And it was interesting because for the longest time, I got zero readings.
Yeah, no one was coming in.
Nobody was coming in. Or when they did, and I'd be like, are you interested in a reading?
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be like, no, thank you.
No.
I'm like, okay. And I'm not a pushy person. I'm not going to go. There was someone else who,
yeah,
worked there that followed them around to try to get,
uh-huh,
you know.
It was a salesperson, really.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, my God. I could not do that. I'm not good at that at all. But, you know, if somebody looked like they were interested, I might say something. Or if Pat or Paul, who were,
mm-hmm,
the proprietors of the store, mentioned, oh, by the way, we have a reader here today.
Mm-hmm.
This is how much it costs,
mm-hmm,
you know, per minute. You know, it was $1 per minute.
A dollar a minute, which is pretty standard in our area.
So I started getting like 30-minute readings,
mm-hmm,
sometimes 15.
Yeah.
There was, you know, and then they started getting a little longer. I started having people come back,
mm-hmm,
to say, hey, you did this reading for me a month ago, and it was,
right,
amazing, and
return
it all
querents
happened. So I want you to read for me again. And I'm like, okay, sure. And so, yeah, that's how I got started. I read professionally there for a little over a year.
Mm-hmm.
But then we moved away.
Right, and it was no
it
longer
was a,
convenient to get to
it
Arts and Craft.
It went from being a 10-minute drive to a,
mm-hmm,
45-minute drive.
Yeah.
And considering I did not always make money, there were,
yeah,
some weeks
where you just get nothing.
Get nothing. And then there are other weeks I think I brought home $350 or $400 one,
yeah,
time.
So it's just really inconsistent.
Yeah, it's very inconsistent. You get paid per reading.
Exactly.
Rather than just your time,
yeah,
spent.
You don't get like an hourly wage,
yeah,
as a tarot reader.
Yeah, exactly. But I enjoyed it. I learned a lot. Originally, when I started, I also included mediumship in,
mm-hmm,
a lot of those readings.
Mm-hmm.
But then I just went straight to intuitive tarot.
Just tarot.
Yeah, because that seemed to be most of the readings I was getting. And it just gelled better.
Yeah, it just made sense.
Just made sense. And so, yeah, that's how I got started doing in-store tarot readings.
I also did readings at Arts and Craft occasionally, but I was like by appointment. I didn't go in and,
right,
stay there all day.
Mm-hmm.
I did for a couple of weeks, but I got nothing, and I just didn't want to spend all day at a store not,
mm-hmm,
accomplishing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I started being by appointment only. And I did have a couple of querents who asked for me specifically, or who I was assigned, basically, because there were no other readers there,
right,
and it was a 10-minute drive, so it was easy for me to get out there. And I actually had one returning querent who I saw pretty much once a month. I think it was once a month.
Sometimes it was twice a month. Twice a month.
Yeah, sometimes it'd be every 2 weeks. For several months, for probably 6 months,
mm-hmm.
I saw this querent repeatedly. And we did really big spreads with her because she would just come with a question and basically we would have a conversation with the deck. I've talked about this before, yeah. I think, the conversation style where the querent asks a question, you pull one card that is the answer to that question, and then you just keep pulling cards, clarifying, asking more questions,
right.
Basically talking through the problem with the deck. And at $1 a minute, I mean, these readings would go like an hour, hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So these were expensive readings.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, because we were just having the same conversation over and over again, because she was coming so frequently, because she started coming more frequently, I believe mm-hmm. towards the end of the time I was seeing her, she started coming every 2 weeks instead of every month. I eventually had to cut her off, essentially, mm-hmm. and to say that I didn't think tarot was helping her anymore,
mm-hmm.
that I couldn't give her the answers she wanted, and mm-hmm. I wasn't going to just keep taking her money to give her the same answer every time and have her come back 2 weeks later with the same question. So I eventually had to tell her I could no longer be her tarot reader.
Mm-hmm.
I had to tell Pat and Paul, the owners of Arts and Craft, to just tell her I didn't do tarot anymore because she kept
calling.
She kept calling and asking for me and mm-hmm. was really pushy about it with them for a while. Mm-hmm.
Yep. In fact, she came in one Sunday when I was there
mm-hmm.
and I said, okay, I knew exactly who she was. I knew about the history. And so I started doing a reading and we were at the halfway point
mm-hmm.
and she was just not willing to accept the answers I was giving her. And I called the reading to an end.
Yeah.
Because it was starting to become repetitive and I was not giving her what she wanted me to keep pulling cards until she got the answer she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not about that. Yeah. I don't do that.
Yeah.
So, and I know you don't either.
No, what we would do usually is that we would keep having this conversation and I would keep pulling cards until she was satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it was still not the answer she really wanted, but mm-hmm. she would be satisfied that she had gotten to the end of the question. And that's why it would take like an mm-hmm. hour, 90 minutes. I would end up pulling like most of a deck
mm-hmm.
with readings for her. That was one of my first challenging experiences, I guess, as a professional tarot reader, reading for a querent for money. Was having to grapple with the ethics of that. Of like, I could have kept taking this woman as a client. I could have every 2 weeks gotten $60 to $90 mm-hmm. out of this woman to have, you know, tarot conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I tried to teach her how to do tarot mm-hmm. so that she could do it for herself. I tried to tell her that maybe she needed a different question or maybe she needed to focus on something else. And she just
wouldn't.
She was just narrowed in on she wanted someone else to do the tarot for her. Mm. And she wanted this question over and over and over again until she was going to get what she wanted.
And like when I was doing the reading for her, it wasn't even that it was like she would argue the point mm-hmm. that the card was making and wanted me to refute that by pulling another card.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many cards I pulled for her, like I said, just in one little section where she just refused to accept it. I don't even think I took her money.
Yeah.
I was just, I can't do this.
No, I think what I eventually had to conclude, ethically, for myself as a tarot reader, what I eventually had to conclude was just, there are some people for whom tarot is not healthy. And I think for her, it just was not healthy.
Yeah.
Some people will lean on it as a crutch
mm-hmm.
or it becomes almost an addiction.
Yeah.
Right. Like they become psychologically reliant on having the tarot answer their questions.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful to her that I had that experience with her so early on.
Yeah.
She taught me a lot about the ethics of tarot.
The ethics of tarot.
And mm-hmm. and how I had to approach this to be okay in myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could very easily have taken over for you and kept reading for her
and like I said,
done a full hour or an hour and a half.
I could have kept taking this woman's money mm-hmm. for months and months, years probably, but it wouldn't have been ethical.
Nope. Not about that life.
You know, mm-hmm. That would have made me complicit in what was a destructive behavior for her.
And she wasn't a wealthy woman.
No.
The thing.
Yeah. No.
She did not have that money to spend every 2 weeks.
Yeah. That was the other thing is I was aware of her financial situation. Yeah. And we had talked before about like, you don't have to come this often.
Yeah.
You don't have to come at all. I can teach you how to do this for yourself. You can get a tarot deck for, you know, $20 and do this for yourself at home.
Mm-hmm.
She just I mean, she had, she was able to make that money appear.
Yeah.
But I wasn't comfortable taking it from, continuing to take it from her.
Exactly.
Know? And like, I didn't want to patronize her. You know, yeah. She was an adult. Yeah. I have to treat her absolutely. Like an adult who's able to make her own financial decisions. Yeah. But at the same time, I couldn't be even in my spirit with mm-hmm. continuing to take her money under these circumstances.
Well, and honestly, I believe after that, they were like, we're sorry. You, mm-hmm. We're not going to have you have tarot read here.
Yeah, yeah. Because she basically was told, like, you're going to have to go somewhere else.
You're going to have to go somewhere else. And it was not easy. It was a difficult situation.
Yeah. Like it was challenging. And it, like I said, mm-hmm. I'm grateful that I had that challenge early on. I hope that she is well.
Exactly. I hope she finally got the answer she was looking for.
Yeah, or learned or how resolved to resolve that situation. Yeah. I hope that she was able to move on from using tarot as a crutch.
Yeah.
I hope that she was able to find whatever it was she needed.
Yeah, because she was a very sweet woman.
She was. She was a
very sweet woman.
Wonderful woman, beautiful spirit. Just this was not good for her.
Mm-hmm. And I think as tarot readers, we do have to be on the watch out for mm-hmm. that. We do, lest we fall into the trap of just performing.
Exactly.
Just to get some money.
Exactly. If you don't want to be a grifter, you got to bring ethics in with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And that was, yeah. So like I said, that was a really important early experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a bad case of denial, yeah. says Elle. Some of it was that. And some of it was just, I think she had not had a lot of tarot done before she came
mm-hmm.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she became, like I said, sort of psychologically dependent yeah. on that sense of control and comfort that tarot brought.
Mm-hmm.
That sense that she understood what was happening and was prepared for what might happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think that brought her comfort. And she was in a woman who was in a position of, you know, she was in a difficult position.
Yeah.
And she needed that comfort and that certainty. I think tarot just was the wrong place for her in particular to get it.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, those are some things you learn when mm-hmm. you're doing mm-hmm. tarot professionally, especially if you are at a specific location weekly.
Yeah.
Because you do start to see people
come back. You'll start seeing the same people.
You'll start to see the same people. And I did. Like I said, I only did it for a year, but I did start to have repeat querents, mm-hmm. you know, repeat clients, yeah. if you will. And I do I do tarot online now, too. Mm-hmm. And I do have a handful, not a lot, but a handful of people who once a year mm-hmm. will contact me mm-hmm. and say, hey, can we do this again? Or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I Gwen and I both do offer tarot online now. And I don't think I've had return querents online. If I have, I don't remember them specifically. That's another thing, which I'm sure I've talked about before.
Yeah.
I don't have a good memory of what even this woman I was just talking about, I don't remember what our actual mm-mm. sessions were about.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell her from one session to the next what we had discussed.
Yeah.
Basically, as soon as the reading is done, it's gone from my mind.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, I always felt kind of bad because these people who I've read for before, one, I might not recognize them.
Yes, that's the worst. Because
it's been a month or 2 months. And the other thing is they'll say, oh, you said this thing uh-huh. and this is what happened and it was so good.
Or they'll mention a specific card.
Exactly. And I'll be like,
I don't remember any of that.
I don't remember any of that, but I'm glad that it was important and of value mm-hmm. to you. But mm-hmm. yeah, no, as soon as I'm done with a reading, it's gone.
Yeah,
it's out of my brain.
It's out of, yeah.
And I think that's because it's a spiritual conversation with the cards and for me with the energy of the person, you know, the interaction.
The message isn't for me.
Exactly. So it's not something I retain.
Yeah. I just have no memory of it ever.
Yeah. Once it's out of my lips, it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Occasionally I'll remember like a vibe.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's about the closest I get.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or like if we have like a long conversation about one specific card, sometimes I'll remember that.
Yeah, exactly. If something really sticks out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'll have, especially if it's a long reading, if it's very involved, I'll have no idea.
Rhiannon says, I mean, if y'all read like I do, then it's like a semi-trance sort of thing, LOL, although I've only just recently started to realize that. Yeah, I do mm-hmm. absolutely go into a partial trance, especially for really involved readings, which I mostly do now that I'm doing online readings. Mm-hmm. This is another thing, is there's a huge difference
in
my experience between doing online readings
and in-person.
And in-person readings. An in-person reading, often time-constrained.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Especially if you're doing it at an event where there's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. We can talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, we will eventually. but so an in-person reading is often time-constrained.
Mm-hmm.
I'm limited to what I'm able to articulate in that moment.
Right.
Right. So it's not always as articulate or as elaborated as I would like it to be.
You can take your time when it's online or in email.
Exactly. And so, and also just the environment, right? Yeah. Like I don't usually control the environment in which I'm doing a public reading.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be people around talking. There may be, you know, the lights.
Very loud.
It can be very loud. I can't control the lights. I can't control the space we're reading on, like the table, like, mm-hmm. are you very close to me or are you very far away from me? I've had mm-hmm. both of those experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, reading during COVID was interesting.
Was interesting, yeah. So just lack of control over the environment, the timing, having to be able to articulate the meaning of the cards in like a split second,
mm-hmm.
just like as soon as you lay them on the table.
Yeah. Connect with it immediately.
And exactly. You have to instantly connect with it. You have to be able to explain each card individually and how they interact. Mm-hmm. To the querent right there at the table. And that's just challenging, mm-hmm. right? It's challenging to sort of navigate all of that. And so, like, I feel like my in-person readings are good, but I feel like my online readings are better.
Yeah, because you can take more time.
Exactly.
You can examine things. Exactly. You can meditate on things.
And I do a whole ritual
yeah.
when I do an online reading. I take a ritual shower
mm-hmm.
so that I am clean. Mm-hmm. I wear ritual garb. Mm-hmm. I set my environment. So I bring the lights down in my room. I set up my altar space. Mm-hmm. I lay everything out. I make special teas that I use for divination. I anoint myself with specific oils. I bring out certain stones. I light candles. I do a whole ritual establishing the spiritual space. I go into a partial trance
mm-hmm.
and then I lay out the cards. And then I take up to 3 or 4 hours yeah. interpreting.
Yeah. Exactly.
As opposed to like the 15 minutes you're probably getting at an in-person event.
Yeah, and it depends on the event. Now, mm-hmm. obviously, in a situation at a store where it's just you and the individual or the individual and their partner or friend that they bring in with them,
mm-hmm.
You're in a separate room. They usually yeah. put you in a separate room. You can close a door. It, you know, that's during when you're actually like working at a store or
yeah.
in a location where there can be privacy and there mm-hmm. can be quiet. And like when I did readings, I always cleansed the reading room because mm-hmm. there were other readers who would come in during the week and
yeah.
stuff. So I would cleanse the room. I had a special scarf that I laid down.
Mm-hmm.
I had specific candles that I brought with me and burned. I had stones, you know, and like you said, I anointed myself,
yep.
all these things that I could do privately in this room
yeah, to set
that
it.
Was dedicated to reading for each person
yeah.
that came in. And there was more of a way to set the space
mm-hmm.
that you don't get
when you're doing public readings
at an event.
Yeah.
Now, and like you said, when you're at home, like I can set up my, mm-hmm. I can set up my room. I can go to Frigga and do the offerings and the prayers yeah. that I do for her when I do a reading.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. And
even aside from just the ritual of it, I am more articulate
yeah.
in writing than I am
yeah.
in words.
Now, see, for me,
words.
Yeah, for me, I do both email mm-hmm. Readings, but I also do Zoom readings.
Yeah, which I don't do at all.
Which is similar to doing something live and in person.
Exactly.
But again, it's in my own space where I can create sacred space and connect with a person through like a Zoom call.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but the email, you have more time.
Yeah.
And I do take much more time to interpret and figure out what's going on.
Yeah. This is why, like, every time someone emails me for an email reading, I tell them, you'll receive this in the early, early morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm going to do it from like midnight to yeah. 5 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the other thing is you can give a specific, I have this amount of time mm-hmm. that I'm going to be using
exactly.
for this reading.
And that time is set aside
yeah.
specifically for dealing with this.
Exactly. And if I had to choose, I probably, obviously, online readings through Zoom is fine. I enjoy doing those just mm-hmm. like I enjoy doing in-person
readings. Readings yeah.
But it there just is a freedom
yeah.
to an email reading that you don't get simply because you can take more time.
Yeah. Yeah. The dedication of time really makes a huge difference,
mm-hmm.
I think. I don't think it changes my interpretations
mm-hmm.
because the interpretation I come to as soon as I lay down the cards is the one I'm going to write out.
Right.
Right? But it deepens my
yeah,
interpretations.
Exactly.
It lets me pull out more layers. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I often see more interesting connections across
mm-hmm.
the various threads or elements of the spread as I'm going through them, as I'm developing the interpretation for each card,
right.
I sort of, you can see them sort of interweaving and interconnecting in more complex ways.
Yeah. So yeah, there's more involved in it, but it's, I feel like...
I find them more fulfilling.
Yeah, because you don't have to rush.
Exactly. Like I said, they take, I set aside about 5 hours to do one.
Yeah.
And exactly. I expect it to take a minimum of 3. But even though it takes so much more time,
It's worth it to me.
Yeah. I feel like the end result, the reading always feels more complete to me. It feels more robust.
Exactly.
So I really like doing online readings. Not that I haven't enjoyed in person readings, and not that I haven't enjoyed even going to events.
Yeah. Pagans in Need. ATC is a Michigan-based network of mutual aid food pantries with the mission to support our communities by providing food and household essentials to any and all who need them. Our pantries honor self-declaration of need, and we are honored to serve all people in a non-judgmental atmosphere where no one is turned away. Pagans in Need currently operates pantries in Lansing, Kalamazoo, Traverse City, and Metro Detroit. To access our services for yourself or a loved one, please visit our link tree at linktr.ee/pagansinneed. If you'd like to volunteer or donate to your local pantry, connect with us on Patreon at patreon.com/pagansinneed for more information. Sign up for free updates or become a patron for as little as $1 a month. May you never hunger, may you never thirst, and blessed be.
Hail Dictinus!
Hail Dictinus.
So, events.
Events.
We've done events at a lot of different circumstances.
Yeah, even. We have. We've done quite a few events.
Mm-hmm. We've done events. We've done tarot reading at pagan events.
Mm-hmm.
We've done tarot reading at just events.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've done, in particular, we used to do event reading at Valhalla.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. What an experience that was.
Yes. Which is, like, for Valhalla Day, like, for their big anniversary event and stuff like that. Which is not even a pagan space, necessarily, right?
Not necessarily.
So I do think that I have found there is a difference between doing readings at a pagan space and doing readings at just a public space. At a pagan space, pretty much everyone knows what they're in for.
Exactly.
You know, like they're coming to a reading. They may even know you personally already. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people would come to pagan events who would know us from the podcast or from the local community. Mm-hmm. And so they would come to us specifically for readings. And it was just like, this was just a convenient opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Reading just at public events.
Oh my gosh. And you always get, it's always, first of all, is this real?
Yes, get a lot of that.
I've never done this before. Can you explain it to me? Uh-huh. Can my friend come and sit with me because I'm scared?
Yes.
And then, you know, and we only have about 15 to 20 minutes per reading.
Yeah, so that's how Gwen and I do our public events is we limit it to you get a 15-minute reading.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that because, especially at large, busy events,
oh my God, yeah.
You know, you can't spend an hour with every person.
Exactly. And we'd
be there. The event might only be 3 hours.
Exactly. And like some events we've done were 6-hour events. We've done 8-hour events before, done readings.
Whole day events.
That whole time. You know, it just depends. And again, with these types of public spaces, you might go and spend 8 hours and not make a penny.
Not a single person.
Not a single person.
Will even out of curiosity come speak to you.
That has happened a couple of times. There was, I think the first time that happened to us, it was actually in a pagan space.
It was. It was a pagan event.
Space, and we drove like several hours.
We were quite optimistic because the organization that was doing this event had done a previous event that we had also done terrible that had been very successful.
It had been very successful and we enjoyed it and we weren't the only readers there. There were other types of readers.
There was going to be a whole... There was
very interesting.
Probably 10 readers there. There was something a palm like reader. There was a bone reader. Yep, there was all kinds of stuff.
For the second event, there were that many readers, but we were divided during afternoon and evening.
Yeah. And afternoon readings were free for some reason.
They were free, yeah.
And evening readings were supposed to be paid readings.
Uh-huh.
So as you would expect, everyone who wanted a reading got it done in the afternoon.
For free.
So by the time the evening came around and we showed up, no one wanted a reading anymore.
There were, and we were set off into another room.
Yes, that was the other thing. There were other things going on at the same time. There were like... there was like performances and speaking all happening at the same time. And we were off in this like side room.
Yeah. Yeah. And you had to kind of cross through the performances to get to us.
And so like if anyone had even wanted to get a reading done, they would have had to leave the performances and the speaking event.
Yep. Yep. And and so it got to the point where after, and it was like a 4-hour event.
It was a long event.
It was a long event. And so it got to the point about midway through, and we're all staring at each other, all of us.
All like, of the readers in the room are just sitting here like, okay. Because, like, we can't even really watch the performances or anything.
Couldn't see anything. We're
in this side room. So, like, we couldn't even watch what everyone else was watching.
Nope,
so we're just sitting there in this, like, semi-dark room listening to things happen beyond the curtain.
And it was so funny because we started looking at each other and then someone goes, you want to trade?
Yeah.
So we started trading readings with each other because, you know.
You will see happen at a lot of events. Anytime it's slow.
Oh, yeah.
Usually readers will start trading each other readings.
My favorite thing to do at an event, and I've done this more than once, is trade a reading for an item.
Yes.
Like from one of the sellers.
If there's a vendor at the same event, yeah.
Yeah, they'll swap something of equal value.
Yeah, usually there will be a vendor who's willing to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's always fun.
I like even just trading readings with other readers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like
for,
especially if it's someone who does something I don't do. Like, exactly. I think I got my palm read at this event because I was like, I've never had that done.
I had
Let's do that. Tea leaves
read.
Yeah.
It was great. And I did her reading, you know, with cards.
Yeah.
It was great. It was so much fun. We were having more fun in the back room just doing readings for each other.
No, I think someone made like $10 at that event.
Yeah,
like,
I think one person
finally got something.
Yeah, I think it was the tea leaf reader.
I think it was.
And that was an experience.
It was.
And we drove a long time for zero.
Nothing.
It was just
4 hours of nothing.
Nothing.
Except finally just doing readings for each other out of desperation.
Yeah. We did get to know some nice people though.
We did.
We're still friendly with these people.
So. Yeah, it was fun in a way.
It was.
Also very frustrating.
It was very frustrating. And the other thing, too, is that even if when we did readings for each other, it would get so loud in the other room.
Like I said, there were these performances happening.
And that's the difficult thing. Like at Valhalla, for Valhalla Day, whenever we did readings there.
Which at Valhalla,
we
were not even in a separate space.
No, we were not in a separate space.
We were just out in the bar.
Yeah, and it was also, I think they did it for Valhalla Day. Did they do a Halloween thing?
They did
thing?
For Halloween stuff. They brought us in a couple of times.
They brought us in several times. And there was always music, and of course people are talking, and it's a bar,
so people are getting a little tipsy, and therefore much louder.
Yeah, you know, we'd be shouting at each other, just hoping nobody's paying attention.
Exactly, like you have to shout the reading while also hoping you can maintain some modicum of privacy.
Nobody seemed to care.
No,
it's so interesting. You get to a point where you're done, and then there's still people going, can I get a reading? You know, and you're like,
exactly.
I've been here for 8 hours.
Right. I'm a little fried. I guess we can do a quick one.
Exactly. Those were some of the drawbacks of just not being able to hear.
Yeah.
We did come down with, like, the first time, I think we gave a few readings and people left without paying.
Yes. We had to come up with a system for that where they could pay at the register and, like, bring us a receipt, basically, to prove they had done it.
Exactly. They had to, or bring cash.
Yeah, or bring cash.
But, yeah. And then I think there was one, I think the last thing they did at Valhalla that we did readings at, like, everything was outside.
Yeah.
And we were
inside. But we were inside.
I think you got maybe one reading and I got a pity reading from one of the bartenders.
Because we were hidden away
inside.
And all the stuff was outside.
It was one of those strange events where that was not run by the bar.
Yeah.
It was by an outside party. Party.
Yeah.
And so they did everything outside but had us inside. Mm-hmm. And it was, it was weird.
And, like, it made sense in a way because, obviously, then we'd have more privacy inside.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also no one to drive Querence inside.
Because they were selling alcohol and food outside.
Exactly. So people didn't even know we were in there.
They didn't
They would never come into the bar.
Nope. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
But the
fun thing, Rhiannon says, oof, guest charging beforehand is needed. Yeah, unfortunately, these kind of events, you just set a price, basically. So we set We would set, I think, $20 for 15 minutes was our standard, which is
a little more than a bit over.
Gwyn in particular is very willing to let it go over.
A little bit.
But you have to just establish it that way, or it becomes impossible to keep track of.
Yep. And the best way to do it, too, is have somebody keep track.
Yeah, like, have someone like a sign-up sheet. To tell people when their slot is going to come up.
Yeah. And we did several. I really enjoyed these, too. We did several of the psychic fairs that were held at Arts and Craft.
Yeah, we did a bunch of those.
And, wow, they had it down to a freaking science.
They really did. They added a fine art.
They really... Fine art.
They did at Arts and Craft.
But yeah, they had a list. They had basically somebody who would call the person and get them and bring them in
when it was their turn.
They prepaid at the register, but they also had a chance to go around and look at the things in the store, but also look at the vendors. And they could, you know, get as many readings from as many different people as they wanted.
Yeah, no, they handled it great at Arts and Craft. It's always impeccable.
Always enjoyed doing readings at Arts and Craft because they know how to do it well.
Yeah. Even on the few occasions that it was slow at Arts and Craft, like, there was stuff for us to do. Because we were in there with the vendors so we could walk around and, like Gwyn said, trade readings for objects and for other readings and so on.
And I will say that when you're at an event that is well run and it's keeping track of who's seeing who and
where they
collecting
the
money, and you don't have to concentrate so much on what's going on around you as you do just doing the
reading after another.
Somebody is watching out for you and making sure you get paid at the end of the day.
Someone else is handling the business transactions, half of it.
That's sometimes I feel like that's the best situation to be in.
Because, I hate handling the business half of doing tarot.
Yeah.
And part of that is just like,
it's part of what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. And you're expending time and energy and expertise, so you deserve to be paid for your services.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, also, sometimes it's just like, I don't want to ask people for money.
I know.
I've gotten a few tips. That's always nice.
Yeah, I have gotten a few tips. And that is always a pleasant surprise because I'm just like not expecting that.
Yeah,
I know. My hope is that people will get something good out of the reading and something beneficial.
That they'll be satisfied with, with what they got.
Exactly. But
it is always a pleasant surprise to get a tip.
It is.
You're like, I guess I did my job well.
But also because there's a lot of energy in the room.
Yeah.
Because you've got all these different people doing these different readings. Mm-hmm. And
all these querents bringing in their individual energies.
Exactly. So it can be, it's very fun. It's fun, but it's exhausting.
Yeah, it really is.
But the other thing is, if it's a well-run event, which is one of the things I was trying to point out too, you can make a lot of money.
You can.
In a day.
If it's a well-organized event.
If it's well-organized.
Yeah. And they keep querents moving.
Exactly. And this is like for all, you know, you got like 6 to 10 readers in a room and everybody's making money.
Yeah.
That you can tell it's being well-organized.
Yeah. The concession I make to like establishing a regular standard in an event like that is I set a timer on my phone.
Yeah. I started doing that
too.
That's
the only way to keep track.
After the first Valhalla day where I was going overtime.
You were going to like 45 minutes.
And everybody was like, we got people waiting, Gwyn.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, sorry. So I started keeping a timer on my phone.
Yeah, that's the only way to do
it. I never went 45 minutes. I went like 25.
You went at least half an hour for somebody because you were like two querents behind.
Yeah. I got caught up.
You did eventually.
And then I started, you know, using my phone, making sure I had a charger.
Yeah.
And using a timer and going from there. But
something interesting that I've found, at least for my reading style at a lot of these public events, is I set the 15-minute timer and I don't start the timer until cards are on the table.
Exactly.
I don't charge for shuffle time.
Yep.
But so I start I put the cards on the table, I start the timer, and then like 5 minutes later, I'm done.
No, I always feel bad when that happens because happen.
Exactly. So I was like, do you have another question or like, do you want to know anything more about this one? And they're just like, no, this answers it.
Yeah, I've gotten that so many times. I'm like, okay, we got 15 minutes or, you know, whatever.
You tell them like, okay, we're going to have a 15-minute reading. They're like, man, I hope that's enough time. I'm like, well, if it's not, you can buy another one. It'll be fine. Or we'll go a little over if it's slow or whatever. And then in 5 minutes, the reading is done. And they're satisfied.
They are. That's the thing that always gets me. Do you want me to pull another card?
Exactly. I'm always like, do you want more clarifiers? Would you like to ask a follow-up question?
No,
you've got more time on your thing still. And they're just like, no, I get it.
No, that's okay.
I think a lot of that is because, and we've talked about this before, a lot of people already know the answer to the question.
Yes.
By the time they sit down... They already know the answer to the question.
Mm-hmm.
They just need someone else to tell them.
Mm-hmm. That you get that a lot. The other thing you get a lot or I have at various events, and I always feel bad when it happens at an event, is that you tell them something they're not expecting.
Yeah.
And it really...
It hits.
It hits.
Because, and the crying starts.
And the crying starts. And I'm like, oh God, did I bring tissues?
Uh-huh.
I got to the point where I always brought tissues.
Yeah.
Because...
Gwen's good about that. I always have to borrow her tissues.
Yeah, because invariably, there's going to be someone who's never had a tarot reading before.
Who doesn't know what to expect.
Doesn't know what to expect. And they just say, I want a general reading.
Uh-huh.
And then it just nails what's going on in their life.
Yeah. And it's always someone who wants a general reading.
Yep.
Who didn't come prepared. Who didn't, like, know what question they were even asking. It's always that.
They didn't even know they were going to be getting a tarot reading.
No, it's always that person who gets just fucking slammed by a truck of tarot and just weeping.
Exactly. And you're like, are you okay? Is there? And they're like, no, this is great. I didn't even know I needed this.
While sobbing.
You know, I'm like, okay.
Yeah. No, I, as a person who is very, let's be frank, antisocial, not even asocial, I'm antisocial.
That's true.
I don't like to be touched. I don't like other people's feelings to get on me. I don't even like my own feelings to get on me.
Mm-hmm.
When I am doing tarot, I have to slip into like a different person.
Yeah, yeah.
My job as a tarot reader is to be someone that you can hug if you are having a rough reading.
Or send them to your mother for a hug at the end.
I have legitimately, like, I would not normally touch these people at all. Yeah. I won't even touch people I like and know well.
I have seen you hug queerants who get really upset.
Yeah, there have been occasions where like, no, you need a hug. I get it. You can have one.
Oh, this is the other thing I've experienced, both in private readings and at events. It happens more at events, but people who come to challenge you.
Yes. Yes.
They won't they won't give away anything as far as a question.
No.
You know.
They say, give me a general reading. And you can tell instantly from the tone.
And you're like,
That they just want to prove that you're a fraud.
That you're a fraud.
That's all they're here for.
And you're like, okay. That's
and I just give them the same reading I would give another person.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't look at them. I just look at the cards. And I'm like, okay, this is what they're telling me.
Yes, because if you look at them, you'll be accused of cold reading.
Yep. So I just put my cards on the table and I do the, you know, the reading.
And sometimes they'll thaw after the reading.
Yeah.
And sometimes they won't, and you'll get nothing from them.
Nothing. Not a thing.
And I'm like, just leave. And I have no idea whether they got what they wanted or not.
Not a clue. Although one time I had that, and someone sat down. I think it was a gentleman. Sat down, gave me, again, the whole, give me a general reading. And it was just a wall of energy saying, I just don't believe you.
Yeah, I'm not giving you anything.
I'm not giving you anything. So I just sat my cards down. I read, did the thing, and he's like, thank you. Left.
Leaves. Yep.
10 minutes later, a woman comes up and she said, my husband told me to come and get a reading from you and that you're really good. I was like, okay. And that does occasionally happen.
Yeah, you get someone who's being like the gatekeeper for someone else.
Yep. And then there's also these times I've had where the person really wants the reading.
Yeah, but they
want
an
answer.
Put up like a wall,
but there's
subconsciously.
There's a wall, and nothing penetrates, and nothing hits. And so what I'll say
to
them.
That's very challenging.
That's very challenging. And so what I just say to them is like, you know, I get it. None of this is resonating with you, but just sit on it. You know, think, you know, just remember what the reading was today.
Yeah.
And maybe someday it'll make sense.
Take a photo.
Maybe at some point in the future, it's going to make sense to you.
Yeah. Honestly.
Because that does happen.
Yeah, it happens occasionally. Honestly, if they're really unhappy and just nothing is connecting, sometimes I'll tell them like, well, we won't pay for this one.
Exactly.
You didn't get what you needed.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, that's always interesting when you get your challengers.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you sitting here?
Yeah, they're just there.
It's like, you're paying me money to test me.
Yeah, exactly.
You're paying me. You know.
Yeah, it's an odd choice. Join Serenth, Emily, Combra, and Snow at Around Grandfather Fire for discussions of spirituality, mythology, animism, and culture around a virtual sacred fire. Sharing a range of perspectives from heathenry to reclaiming and beyond, the AGF crew opens respectful and challenging dialogues about a wide range of spiritual subjects. Find your place at the fireside at aroundgrandfatherfire.com or wherever fine podcasts are found. Something else I have run into, and I've, again, unfortunately, mostly run into this in public readings.
Yeah.
when the reading uncovers something that's more than a crying issue.
Oh, God.
It's like a very serious issue.
Yep.
I've had readings uncover domestic abuse.
Yes.
Serious mental health issues. Mm-hmm. Very serious medical concerns. And I don't mean like the reading says, like, oh, you've got cancer. I mean, like, as I'm doing the reading, the person will divulge to me that they've just had a cancer diagnosis.
Exactly.
Or that this is about their husband who abuses them.
Because they'll offer that. Mm-hmm. When it resonates and it's something of a serious nature, they'll say, this is what it's about.
So you have to be mentally and emotionally prepared to maybe get someone's life story and for that life story to be horrifying.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of people, tarot is sort of, I can't afford therapy.
Yeah. I need to talk through something.
Uh-huh. I think it's not even that people go in planning for it to be that
sometimes. It just turns into that.
That, like, you lay out the cards and you tell them what they mean and it flips that switch in their brain. And they have to talk about this all of a sudden. And you're the person who's there.
And so the goal is to be a good listener.
Exactly. I also try to have resources that I can provide, right? One of the most important things for me is knowing when to stay in my lane as a tarot reader, right? I am not a mental health professional. No. I am not a doctor.
Nope.
I am not a crisis counselor.
Right.
I am not equipped to help you with these problems.
But let me give you some resources who can.
Exactly. But I can gather resources to direct you to.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel comfortable enough to tell me that you're having these problems in this sacred space that the tarot creates, I think it's my responsibility to lead you to those resources.
Exactly.
Because at least right now, at least in this moment here at the tarot table, you trust me. And you trust me to lead you right. And so it's my job to lead you to the people who can actually help you with this problem.
Exactly. The other thing that can be challenging is when you have couples.
Yes.
I hate doing couple readings for this reason.
It's the worst. It's the worst.
Because invariably,
inevitably going to be about more about one person than the other.
One person than another.
And that means there are probably going to be secrets that are revealed.
Yeah.
By accident.
Yeah. And that's always a really challenging thing. You know.
That's so tough to navigate.
Uh-huh.
And I never want to tell people, like, no, you can't.
Oh, no.
Because for a lot of people, it is just like, hey, I need this person here for moral support.
Exactly.
I'm spooked.
And sometimes I have had situations where a person comes up and says, I want the reading. This friend is here for moral support. And everything about the reading is directed at this other person.
Yeah. I've had that happen as well.
Yeah.
Usually I'll reset the reading at that point and do it for the person who actually paid.
Exactly. Or the other person goes, you know what? I'm just going to pay you.
Exactly.
This is my reading and now you can do theirs.
Yeah, exactly. Which some of that is learning to focus in on the right energy, right?
Yep.
I had that problem a lot more when I was starting.
Yep.
Once you learn like how to narrow in on a specific individual's energy, you'll have that issue less, I think. But with couples in particular, or like with friends whose lives are really intertwined.
Really intertwined. That's where it
gets difficult.
It gets difficult because they are so much a part of each other's lives that, you know, they're intersecting. And so the energies are commingling while they're listening to the tarot and you're trying to
interpret.
Yeah.
But a couple, like romantic couples, married couples in particular, are the hardest.
They are the hardest. And I have had at least one reading where the wife came up to me later and said,
afterwards.
Afterward.
we'll get like a solo additional reading.
Yeah. When the husband is out of,
or vice versa.
Or the partner, I should say. One partner will come and say, hey, listen, this
can
is
we
what,
talk more
can
about
we talk more about this?
This aspect,
yeah.
About that card that
because
came up.
There was something, there was some unknown thing.
Just lurking.
Know, lurking in the relationship.
If you read tarot publicly, if you read tarot professionally, you will become someone's
therapist,
emergency therapist, relationship counselor,
best friend.
Yeah, BFF. And the best you can do, like I said, Boots, you have to learn to stay in your lane, right?
Yep.
You can't give personal advice about these things.
Exactly.
Because that's how you step into some bad shit, right? Like,
exactly.
That's how you become culpable and responsible for other people's lives in a way that you really should not be.
And you don't want to
And you
to
are
be.
Not equipped to be. So the struggle there is staying in your lane while like Gwen said, being a good listener. Because sometimes all they do need to do
is
vent.
Speak, you know, and to vent. And it's being a good listener. It's being compassionate. Mm-hmm. It's being a little firm when you need to
occasionally,
be.
Occasionally, yeah. I've had some people I've had to tell, like, no, you need to go to a doctor.
Yeah.
Like, I know you want to do a naturopathic thing or whatever, but you should also go to a doctor.
I'll also do this. And then sometimes people just need to be affirmed.
Yeah.
They're going through a thing in their life. The tarot brings that up. They're
weeping.
Weeping.
They're bleeding on the table.
They're bleeding on the table, metaphorically. And what the best thing you can do is just offer them comfort.
Yeah.
Because you don't necessarily have solutions.
No, but just agree with them that that sucks.
But just agree with them that that sucks, that the universe is aware. Mm-hmm. You know.
That you hope it gets better for them.
That you hope it gets better for them. Maybe, like you said, give some resources, encouragement.
Yeah.
Comfort.
That's another sort of tricky ethical area.
Exactly.
Right? Because there's an impulse sometimes, I think, to offer advice.
Mm-hmm.
To try to offer solutions.
Right.
But that's not your job.
Mm-mm.
Your job is to interpret the tarot.
Yeah.
And to be very clear that this is not your advice.
Right.
Right? Like, even if the cards give advice, this isn't your advice. This is the tarot. Frequently, the cards give advice I would not give.
Right. And I've had some readings where the querent has asked a very specific question, and the cards have given me no choice but to give them a very definite answer.
Yeah.
And the only thing I can do is try to cushion it with compassion.
Right.
But just be as truthful and direct as possible.
Yeah. No editorializing
is
what I try to do with tarot.
Yep.
And there's a limit to that because you're necessarily interpreting the tarot through your own personal lenses.
Exactly.
But as much as possible, no editorializing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not your job as a tarot reader. Your job, or at least my job as a tarot reader, is to directly interpret the cards, to tell someone who doesn't know this language what this says.
Mm-hmm.
And frequently, I try to tell people, like, you can learn to do this.
Yeah.
You don't have to come to a stranger to read your tarot. You could go get a deck today.
Yeah.
And it'll have a little booklet in it that'll tell you how. And I can give you some of my Cliff Notes versions on how to do this if you want. I've offered to people what we could spend this 15 minutes on instead is me teaching you the basics of tarot so you can go home and do this yourself.
Yep.
And I've never had someone take me up on it, but I'm waiting for the day.
What's also really interesting, too, is when you get a querent who reads tarot.
Yes. That's always fascinating.
Because you'll be interpreting, and then they will interpret
themselves along with you.
And you're like...
Okay. And you'll be like comparing notes.
You know.
Sometimes this is fun. Sometimes this is frustrating.
Yes.
It's fun when you're sort of co-interpreting.
Exactly.
Right?
When you're working together, kind of tag team.
Exactly. It's frustrating when it's someone who clearly believes they know the tarot better than you, at which point I just ask, why didn't you just read this for yourself?
Yeah. Why are you not reading this for yourself?
Why did you even come to me?
You're spending money that's unnecessary.
Yeah.
And I do enjoy going to people if I have a question myself, I do enjoy going to other tarot readers, especially ones that I don't know, I'm not familiar with, had a reading
from. It's always
fun
to see a strange reader.
Exactly. And so I don't say a word.
Yeah, no.
I ask them my question. I don't tell them I'm a tarot reader.
Yeah, no. I try to keep my energy open.
I keep my energy.
I don't want to come off cross as a tester.
Exactly. So I keep my, I am very open. Mm-hmm. I listen to what they say. I take notes. Mm-hmm. I take photos of the reading. And I thank them, you know, and I'm not there to challenge them or to block them or to not listen to what they're telling me.
Yeah.
And more often than
it's
not,
usually insightful. It's
very insightful.
Yeah.
Very insightful. Very interesting. They have different decks. They have different methods.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you can learn something from this
from
other reader that you might not be able to pick up yourself.
Yeah. I like going to other readers.
Mm-hmm.
I especially like going to readers who do different divination styles.
Yes. I love getting a bone reading.
Yeah. Or like I said, I got my palm read that one time. That was really fun.
Yep. And
the tea leaf reading.
I still want to learn how to do that. I have a cup.
You do. You have a
special cup. And I have a book and I haven't taken the time to learn. Yeah. I do want to learn tea leaf reading.
Yeah. So that can be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Rannon says, question, do y'all advertise your online readings in places other than the same place you advertise the podcast? I'm sure in-person ones are elsewhere, but as someone who tried their hand at offering them before, mainly here in the AGF server, you don't get many hits. So anywhere y'all know that is a good method of extending your work base would be helpful. We only advertise it on the website.
Yeah.
Well, we don't even advertise. Yeah, and on the podcast when we mention it, when I remember to mention it in the end notes. But we don't advertise anywhere. honestly. We don't even advertise the podcast anywhere anymore.
We're not as good about advertising ourselves as we should be.
No.
And we probably should be.
We probably should work harder at it.
Work harder.
But neither of us are salespeople.
So. Yeah, that was Carr's main area of expertise.
Yeah, that was his thing.
So he really did drive that. And so yeah, that we struggle. Yeah,
no, we don't advertise at all.
And we should probably figure out how to do that.
We probably should. But like I said, we just mentioned it on the podcast. That's the only time. So it's always a surprise to me when I get an email reading. It's always a delight.
I love
doing email readings for people.
Absolutely love it.
Like I said, it's one of the most fulfilling types of readings for me. So I really enjoy the opportunity.
Exactly.
But no, we don't really advertise them anywhere, honestly.
Yeah. Like I said, maybe that question, Rhiannon, will encourage us to try a little harder, and then we can come back with better advice.
With
actual advice.
Instead of just, I don't know, we don't.
No, I don't. I will say there's one other type of reading that I have done. I think we did together at least once. Mm-hmm. I've done at least twice. Home readings.
Yes.
Party
that was,
readings.
That was an interesting experience.
That was an interesting experience.
So a party reading is basically like someone hires you for a party.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were a clown.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like you were a clown going to a kid's birthday party. Usually it's not a kid's birthday party.
It's usually like a
ladies' sleep overnight.
A shower, yeah. A wedding bridal shower.
They're having a wine night
Wine night, yeah.
But they'll schedule you to come out to their house and do tarot readings for everybody.
Uh-huh. And they charge you charge a certain amount per mm-hmm. person.
Yeah.
And then they pay you up front when you go. And people can tip if they want to, and then they set you up in either in a dining room or in a bedroom,
or whatever is convenient in their house,
and you're there for a couple of hours, mm-hmm. and people get it whether they get a reading or not is up to them. The price is still the same for the party.
You just charge X amount per head, basically.
Per head, and then whether they choose to have a reading or not,
that's up to them.
And you'll get those who are like, "Oh, this is spooky,
scary.
Scary," you know, and others going, "Yeah, let's do it," you know.
Uh-huh. Let's dive in.
So, but that was, I think I've done that twice.
Yeah, I did that once with you. We both went.
Yeah.
It was an interesting experience.
That was a big party, too.
Yeah, it was. It was, I think, 15 people or something.
15 to 20.
Yeah, it was a lot of people there.
Yeah, but it was very interesting.
Yeah, so fuck a magician, hire a witch.
There you go.
Yeah,
there
exactly.
you go. Hire a witch. And it was through Arts and Craft.
Yeah, yep.
So somebody had contacted them and said, "Hey, we'd like to do this."
Exactly.
And so Pat was like, "Hey,
are you up for a party?" So yeah, sometimes the best way to get your name out there and to get opportunities, is to know someone in the community who can connect people with you.
Yep. Or, you know, find out if there's psychic fairs. I mean, we've never gone to the big ones because they're expensive.
You have to buy your space.
We've been fortunate that when we have, especially when we lived closer mm-hmm. to Arts and Craft.
Yeah, we were just invited to attend
that.
We were just invited to
be part of that. And we've always enjoyed doing that. My having to work now
makes it
hard to do that now. But
they've been a lot of fun in the past, and I would do them again.
Oh, yeah.
I like doing those kinds of in-person events. Like I said, they're exhausting.
They are so exhausting.
Especially the really long ones.
Yes. Okay, so here's some advice.
Yes.
If you are going to be doing a live event mm-hmm. at, you know, a big space, a big event space, make sure you are well-nourished.
Right. Eat before you go.
Bring snacks.
Bring hydration.
Yes.
Bring water. You will talk so much more than you think you will.
Yes. Make sure you have plenty of water. Find out if the event providers are going to be providing water or
if you need to bring your
food
own.
Or if you have to bring your own.
Ground and center, like Gwen said, but also shield.
Shields
up. Bring whatever you need to get into as much ritual space as you can mm-hmm. in whatever space is available to you.
Mm-hmm. That's why I always bring my particular scarf with me.
And then afterwards, this is crucial, you need to ground again.
Yep.
And you need to eat.
Eat.
Oh, I also recommend bringing an external energy source. Like I bring my carnelian.
Yep.
So if you have like a necklace that you can imbue with energy mm-hmm. or a stone mm-hmm. or like it'd probably be a struggle to bring a potted plant with you, but something, bring something with you that you can draw energy from throughout
mm-hmm.
the day.
Mm-hmm. I still like to use the suggestion that I learned from my friend,
yeah.
Amy, of, she said, use your pendulum and
to whip up some extra energy.
And if it needs to be brought back down, you just reverse it.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I usually bring a carnelian and I just borrow mm-hmm. energy from carnelian.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, afterwards, ground and get something. We usually mm-hmm. take our ill-gotten gains and go to, like, a Taco Bell afterwards.
Yep. Go to someplace that's going to be open late.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Grab some food.
Yeah. That's the first thing we spend our tarot money on, inevitably, is getting some fast food.
Every time. And if it's not fast food, you know, it's at least a soda or something.
You've got to have something.
Something.
And then, yeah, self-care day after, says Githa. Almost never do any kind of spiritual work after
a big event
like that.
Yeah. Nothing that's going to be really energy taxing because the one time I think I had to work.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Try to schedule it so that you're not going to have to work or do anything energy intensive the next day.
So that you can sleep and relax and recover from all of the energy that you're expending.
Because like if you're doing like a six hour event, which is pretty standard, like a lot of events will be about 6 hours, five or 6 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're doing 15-minute readings.
Mm-hmm.
If you are booked from start to close,
mm-hmm.
That's a lot of readings.
And you have to build in time to go to the bathroom, to eat some food.
Yeah, to have a snack.
You know, and luckily, again, Pat and Paul know how to do it.
They
build in
that very
time.
Well.
So they did that at Valhalla, too, when somebody took over that, figuring that out.
Yep.
And then, Rhiannon says, never forget extra batteries
for yourself and your phone. Yeah.
Bring your charger.
And bring a battery. Yeah, one of those little battery bank
mm-hmm.
things
mm-hmm.
In case you don't have access to an outlet.
Yep, exactly. But I think the main point is, if you decide to delve into the realm of professional tarot reading, it is a lot of fun.
It is. It can be challenging.
And
like I said, it has some ethical challenges you're going to have to face.
Exactly. Make sure that you've worked through how much you're going to charge, what your ethical basis is.
Exactly.
Where is your cutoff when you say, okay,
this
reading is done.
There are a lot of readers, for example, who don't do health readings at all.
Yeah.
Right? Who like just won't read about certain subjects
mm-hmm.
because they don't want to step out of their lane.
Yep.
So know those things about yourself and make those decisions about the business aspect, right? And the mm-hmm. ethical aspect of your tarot before you commit.
And always strive to do your best
mm-hmm.
for your querent and for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so that you know that you are giving the very best readings possible.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Don't never do a reading like if your heart's not in it, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if the vibe is off, if someone sits down and you just can't get shit from them,
mm-hmm.
if you're like in the wrong headspace,
mm-hmm.
just back out.
Yeah.
It's better to back out and disappoint someone mm-hmm. than it is to give them a bad reading.
Like when I've had to say, I'm sorry, I'm not doing any mm-hmm. more readings.
Yep.
I've been lucky in the past that Jackson has mm-hmm. taken over for me.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, sometimes you just get to the very, very end and you can't. You just don't have the energy to do anymore.
Or you get a headache.
Yeah.
Or you eat something weird and your stomach's off.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever. There are so many things that can go wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you have a bad experience with a previous querent and it's thrown your head out of the game.
Remember, you are a human being
mm-hmm.
and you do need to take care of yourself as well as taking care of the querent while they're in your space.
Exactly. And remember that when the querent is in your space, they are in your care.
Yes.
You are responsible for this experience for them.
You have a duty of care to that person.
So if you cannot give them your full attention,
mm-hmm.
your full care, it is better to
release them
from your care.
And if you're in a situation where there's more readers.
Yes, send them to someone
else. Send them to someone else. Say, hey, I'm not able to do this right now,
mm-hmm.
but this person over here is brilliant. You know, take this money back and
mm-hmm.
go to them.
Exactly. That's our advice.
That's our advice on readings.
Rhiannon says, if you can't take care of yourself, don't try and take care of someone else.
Exactly.
That's exactly it.
Exactly.
That is exactly it.
Mm-hmm. But if you do decide...
Put your own air mask on first.
Exactly.
I
was just thinking
the
same thing. But if you do decide to do this, you know, just have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
Relax.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Don't bring too much anxiety into it.
Don't put so much on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just... Do your best, enjoy, and you will improve as you go along.
You will. Now, I will say, the one thing that puts me off of another reader, I'm just going to throw this out there, is someone who's reading the book at the table.
Yeah.
I understand it.
Yeah.
I understand it. Like, it's a lot of cards to memorize. Sometimes you just really need a refresher. But, hell, I reread my tarot books.
Exactly.
But I do it the day before the event.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I'm not gonna sit there with my book.
Yeah.
I don't want people to pay me
for
something
book.
That they could look up themselves.
Yeah.
I'm wanting to give them my interpretation. And if it's not what's in the book,
right,
that's okay.
So be it.
So be it.
And your mileage is gonna vary on that. Some people are fine reading from the book at the table.
Yeah.
And listen, when I'm doing my online readings, when I'm doing my email readings, I'll often recheck the book. Well, because I'm going to be here for 4 hours interpreting anyway.
Exactly.
But at the table, the vibe it projects is not professional.
Yeah. When you're actually in someone's
It does not inspire confidence, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
It does not inspire confidence that
Yeah.
That you know what you're talking about.
And I think anybody who did, like, I will reference the book. I'll go online mm-hmm. and go to biddytarot.com to get a sense of something or to get a word.
Yeah.
But then I go from there. But yeah, I totally agree when you're in person.
Especially
when you're in person. Go with what you are feeling and getting interpreted for yourself.
Yeah. I think if you're not prepared to interpret the cards just as they are on the table, you're maybe not quite ready. At least for in-person readings.
Exactly. Right? Or event readings.
Yeah.
And if you
learn to shuffle your cards thoroughly. Mm-hmm. You'll see the same cards come up over and over again.
Over and over. And then you're like, nope.
Mm-mm. Nope, we got to reshuffle.
Got to reshuffle. Yep. Nope.
Yep.
But, and then if you do want to do things like, you know, a pagan pride day or a psychic fair mm-hmm. or stuff, do realize they are going to charge you.
Yeah, there's a table fee, basically.
Yeah, there's a table fee, and you might not always recoup that.
Mm-hmm. Depends on how expensive it is.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the thing to also be aware of. You're not always going to come home with money.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're going to do an event and you're going to lose money.
Yeah.
It just is what it is. It's part of the whole thing.
Part of the game.
Part of the game.
Yep.
But it's just so much fun.
Yeah. I enjoy it.
I enjoy it too.
Like I said, I enjoy email readings more.
Yes.
But I do enjoy the events. They're a fun, like, once or twice a year
kind
of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And we did more before COVID.
Yeah. Since COVID, we've done
much fewer stuff in person, but mm-hmm. it is always fun when we get a chance to do that.
Thanks to our tiger, Solanox, for introducing us to Weavers of the Web, an interfaith pagan ATC, Aquarian Tabernacle Church organization based in Lansing, Michigan. Weavers of the Web is a public Wiccan church that aims to be family-friendly, supportive, and informative, with the goal of ensuring no one ever need be alone in their spiritual needs. Weavers is currently raising funds for the down payment on a property, which would allow them to expand their current network of resources, including dedicated community space, a permanent home for a Pagans in Need pantry, and a lending library. Join them online or in person for regular events, including rituals and discussion groups at weaversoftheweb.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/weaversATC.
Hail Dictinus.
Hail Dictinus. That's all of our advice for doing public tarot.
Tales from the tarot table.
Yes.
There we go. Tales from the tarot table.
All right. So you can find us online if you Google or use the search engine of your choice with the search term the number 3 Pagans and a Cat or the number 3 PAAC. You can find us online at the number 3 pagansandacat.com where you can find links to all of our things, including the tarot services that we offer.
That's right.
And to our Redbubble that no one uses, and to our Patreon where we are supported by you.
Yep. And we appreciate and love each and every one of you mm-hmm. who are both listeners and those who support us through Patreon.
Yep.
And again, if you can go to the website for a link to our, you know, to see our services, mm-hmm. to what we do, but you can also contact Ode for services at
ode@3pagansandacat.com.
And you can email me at gwyn@3pagansandacat.com.
And Gwyn is gwyn@3pagansandacat.com.
Yep. You can also find my page on Facebook.
Yep. Or you can just contact me through the contact form. All the contact messages from the website go to my email, and if it's for Gwen, I send it on to her.
And I think you should know we do tag team readings.
We read
together for, a querent.
Yeah, we'll dual consult.
So that is also something if you want both of us to give you a reading, we can do that as well. Mm-hmm. We do that at the same time.
All right. I think that's everything that we do, other than also Gwen has a TikTok.
I have a TikTok.
Where she TikToks.
So for as long as TikTok is still around, right. Come and visit me on TikTok.
Then we will see you 2 weeks from now.
That's right.
And in the meantime, there will be a discussion on the Discord led by the Pride.
That's right.
So join us on the Discord.
Now go out there and shuffle your deck.
Mm-hmm. Have fun with Tara.
Have fun with Tara.
Okay, goodbye.